Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Steve Rosenblum and Mike Esposito 4th of July Extravaganza on 670 The Score.
No extravaganza would be complete unless we were grilling hot dogs.
I was going to say, we haven't burned down the studio yet.
No,
so
well,
do you have the lighter fluid?
Yeah, you know, I remember we did do a remote one time where around this holiday where they were grilling out front.
Yeah.
We did it. It was an auto place. And that's the way all remotes should be.
Oh, man.
Grill. Speaking of hot dogs, the greatest grilling holiday, the greatest hot dog holiday. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. We're in for Mullion Haw. We're welcoming to the show my friend Bobby Pastrami, also known as Bob Schwartz. He literally wrote the book, Never Put Ketchup on a Hot Dog. Bob, how you doing this morning? Nice.
Hey, Steve, how are you? And you too, Mike.
Hi, Bob.
Okay, Bob, we need hot dog expertise intervention immediately. So Mike's gonna explain the story, and then he's gonna need your advice. So you help him parent his way through this.
Yep, Bob. So Bob joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. So Bob, here's my dilemma. I have an 11-year-old son who loves, and you know where I'm going with this. He loves ketchup.
The K word.
His cheeseburgers come with only ketchup. His, you name it, comes with only ketchup. And when I get him a hot dog, and I'm usually the one placing the order for him, I have to order a hot dog with ketchup. And I just, even knowing it's not for me, I feel the need to, it just feels wrong.
You bury your head in the sand.
I do. So, I mean, what do I do? I don't know what to do here.
Well, it's funny. There's so many places around Chicago that probably wouldn't even sell it to you.
Correct.
And then there's others like
that's right.
Palace in Skokie. And Scott Shane is a very nice guy who likes kids. When he serves a hot dog with ketchup on it, he puts the hot dog in the bun and the bun on the wax paper. And on the wax paper, he puts a frown face in ketchup. And just to
does
let them
he
know,
really?
You can eat it, but it's not acceptable.
So I know you're familiar with Gene and Jude's, I'm sure, as a hot dog connoisseur. And you go to Gene and Jude's, and they don't offer ketchup. So, like, if we go to Gene and Jude's, I have to, like, get Jake, my son, a ketchup packet or something from somewhere else because he won't eat the hot dog without the ketchup. It's,
you know, funny
bad.
Story with that. I was taking a guy who had been came in from out of town. Down Grand Avenue towards Gene and Jude's, and he asked me to stop at the Wendy's. I said, what for? So he walks in, and he asks for ketchup. He says, you want just ketchup? What's it for? He says, Gene and Jude's. I'm going there and hadn't been there. He says, okay, I'm going to give you the ketchup, but can you bring me back a double dog?
There you go.
But, you know, even Jimmy's on Grand and Pulaski, and that's the other one that sells as many hot dogs as Gene and Jude's. And each one of those places sells as much as Wrigley Field in a year. And Jimmy's, they can get violent there, so you've got to be very careful not to ask.
Really? I mean, you're talking about...
Yeah. It gets rough. That's a rough neighborhood. I mean, I've seen Rosemary... drag a guy out of he fell down and he just dragged him out and said, get out of here. We don't need that anymore in here.
Well, and Bob, so you're the right guy to ask this question, though. So the Chicago dog, how did it become, how does the Chicago dog
become the Chicago
become
dog.
The Chicago dog and not have the ketchup, or how is okay. the whole ketchup thing come about?
Well, it started as the depression dog, and that's when a lot of hot dog stands started. They had their beginning there because it was a way that you could get a meal on a bun for a nickel in those days. And you would have a hot dog nestled into the bun, and they would put a few condiments on it. One was the mustard. The other was the pickle relish that they called pickle lily. And onions was the third thing. And then cucumber was the fourth. Hmm. And that turned into pickle later on. But you got all of your basic food groups in there for very little. And that's what stuck. But the fact that these were good hot dogs, ketchup really wasn't a thing then. And then even later on, it didn't become fashionable because it changed the taste of the hot dog or masked the hot dog. And just like you would not want to put ruin a great steak at Gibson's or one of the other great steakhouses by putting steak sauce all over it, you certainly wouldn't want to mess up a hot dog by putting the one condiment on it that kind of takes the flavor and the aroma and everything else out of the hot dog, and all you have left is that ketchup. So that's really the reason. Kids find it, if they're not taught from the beginning, that it's okay because it's sweet, and there's three different kinds of sugar in that ketchup. And so that's enough sugar to keep you going. Granted, there are some hot dogs in this country and in many ballparks that need ketchup.
But yes. Not Vienna hot dogs, no. Not where Bob comes from.
Nope, not at all.
Bob Schwartz is our guest here on The Score. He wrote the book, Never Put Ketchup on a Hot Dog. We're talking the greatest grilling holiday, right? The greatest hot dog holiday. This is the day, well, per pound,
yeah,
per link.
It's 150 million hot dogs on July 4th. I don't know, you know, for where that is, if it's everywhere or what, but National Hot Dog Day this year is supposedly officially July 20th. Everything's got its own day. Last year it was the 23rd. And, you know, it's actually not our biggest month at Vienna. Our biggest month is actually May, believe it or not. And
what, somebody making fathers make Mother's Day dinners?
Yeah, Mother's
all they
Day
can do
dogs
is grill hot dogs.
yeah, that's what we do in Mother's Day at my house.
And another thing about Bob that our audience should know, that he is the man who created, runs, and continues to induct hot dog stands into the Hot Dog Hall of Fame, a Vienna. Will it have an actual?
It is a real thing.
I'm sorry?
Yes. It is a real thing.
Yeah, it is. So share with the audience the Hot Dog Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, this all started about 17 years ago, and I had thought about this ever since I had read an article in Nation's Restaurant News that said that restaurants open more than 7 years are considered a successful restaurant. And I started thinking about how all these hot dog stands, so many of them are around double, triple, and as much as 10 times longer than those 7 years. And I thought it was important that we pay homage to those people. And that's how it started. And it's gotten legs under it since then. There are 146 members of the Hot Dog Hall of Fame out of thousands of Vienna customers. And, you know, there's some of them that aren't even really hot dog stands, but they're There are places that sell a lot of food. Good example, earlier in the year, we put Dengio's in the Hall of Fame. Now, Dengio's is a restaurant that started in Skokie and has three places around the northern suburbs. And their main business is gyros and chicken. But they, since the 50 years since they opened, the only item branded on their menu has been Vienna hot dogs. And it doesn't matter whether they sell 5 cases a week or 10 cases. You know, they have been a loyal customer, and that's been a main part of their business, offering that. So those are the people you want to pay homage to. And we put him in the Hall of Fame, and that day he had hot dogs for $1. In all three places, and he sold 2,500 hot dogs that day.
Wait, I've known you for so long, and you don't give me a heads up. I get a hot dog for $1 at Dengio's. I don't even know when that day is.
Bob, it's very funny too, Bob, because
I know, I'm so ashamed.
Our one of our favorite places is the Buffalo Grove Dengio's, right there on Dundee Road. We go there all the time.
Well, there you go, and you know what? And I like Dengio's too, and we go to. My wife Marcia and I have gone to all three of them, and we kind of live in between in Northbrook. So I get there, and I kind of prefer the original one on Main Street, Skokie, and that's the one that's been around the longest, although it has been remodeled, and it's pretty cool.
Well, and the nice thing, too, and you mentioned the longevity of hot dog stands, and I'll use Gina Jude's as examples because it's my oldest hot dog stand memory. I'm 50. I've been going there for, 45 years, 44 years, right? I grew up not far from there, and it's literally the same place. Like, I mean, they flood when the Des Plaines River floods, but they keep No, and I'm not even joking. They just rebuild it the exact same way. It looks identical to what it did back in the 80s, and it's the same great food.
Even the 50s, that place opened in 1950, and it was 50, and you'll appreciate this, Steve, you know, as a poker player. The beginning, Gene Mormino was kind of a gambler, and he originally opened a place called Polk and Western down near Little Italy today. And the place where Polk and Western, his place was still there. But he had a hot dog stand, and he ran it for 2 years. From 1946 to 1948, and he was doing pretty well, but he was in a card game, and he thought he had it won, and he bet the restaurant. It's like betting the farm, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And he lost. So he was undaunted. He had a friend named Jude DeSantis, who had a little bit of money, and the two of them scraped together some money, and they said, let's build a place on this property where they didn't even have paved streets out in River Grove, and we can open for 10 months a year and then go to Florida or California for 2 months. And that became Gene and Jude's, and the rest is history there. But it's a, you know, one of these iconic places. And Gene Mormino's son, Joe, he doesn't even work there anymore. He's out in Las Vegas, and he's kind of like wanted to be a frustrated lounge singer. But he is a really good guy, and he's married to a girl named Rose, who is from Pittsburgh. And my wife and I had been out to dinner with him, and we were coming from a wedding, and we went to Gene and Jude's, and we're standing in line, and somebody comes up, are you Bob? I said, yes, you have a phone call. So I go back there, I get the phone, and it's Rose Mormino. She said, I saw you on that you were there. I said, where are you? She said, in my kitchen in Las Vegas. So they have the eye in the sky. And she says, I told them not to put onions on Marcia's hot dog.
Wait, she's at home in Las Vegas watching the hot dog stand line?
Yeah, and so I asked the guys there, I said, so where are they? He said, they're everywhere.
That's way too. And Bob, it's funny. I have known many people who at their weddings have carted in however many Gene and Jude's at, you know, like midnight or whatever.
Right. That's become a big thing in Chicago.
So, Bob, before I let you go, other people listening to the show should know he's Bobby Road Trip as well as Bobby Pastrami. And there are always a couple baseball road trips. So when and what's next?
Well, you know, you got me by surprise there because I'm still working on that one. But, you know, last year, for instance, we went to I went to see the Mets, and then I went to see the Phillies, and I went to Cooperstown, and then I went to Atlantic City. And the best was sitting at a Mets game, and they're playing Houston, and Houston's ahead on a home run by a 195 hitter in the top of the ninth, 2-0. Verlander was pitching, and it's the bottom of the ninth, and Lindor comes up to bat with two outs and a man on base, and he strikes out, and the Mets fan behind me, this old guy, yells out, $40 million, and that's what we get? And I felt so good.
There you go. Mets fans, all right. Bob, have a safe holiday. Say hi to Marcia. Be well. Thanks for joining us.
I will. You bet. Bye-bye.
All right. Bob Schwartz, Bobby Pastrami in my world. He wrote the book, Never Put Ketchup on a Hot Dog, and it really is a
talking hot dogs. I
hot
love that.
Dog Hall of Fame. It's the hot dog hall. How do you not have National Hot Dog Day on the 4th of July? It's not like the 4th of July and the Independence Day is going to be upset about it, right?
How is May their best-selling month? That makes no sense to me.
Unless it's just finally good enough weather. I don't know. Anyways, we'll take a break and we will come back. The Cubs are playing today. You will hear them on this station.
Yes, sir.
And what you may have heard earlier, in case you missed it, Bruce Levine was on earlier today, and he was naming names. We'll let you hear that. Next, I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. We're in for Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome and welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mike Esposito, we're in for Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. In about half an hour, we'll talk with Mark Grody.
Bears.
Mark Grody will be here. It's not his show, but he'll be on this show. He should have been on the show. He used to be on the show.
He used to be on the show, and I did updates
for
the show.
Now he's got an own show. In fact, Mike Esposito over here will tell you all about it. No, I will. Today, the Cubs continue their series against the Brewers. Pre-game begins at 2:35, first pitch at 3:10 on The Score. And the Xfinity Cubs Radio Network. Also, did you know you can hear Cubs games on your smart speaker? Just tell your device to play 670 The Score. Play it all the time. Mark Grody will be here in half an hour. We will do transition with him. Earlier this morning, we've been on since 7 o'clock. We've been working, and so you don't have to on this 4th of July. And we had Bruce Levine on in the 8 o'clock hour, and Bruce kind of, you know, you see the Cubs lose a game that'll leave a mark, right? They're up 6-0.
That's a tough one.
Evil, dreaded Brewers, and they lose the game 8-6. And then you start hearing we got fatigue, the travel, Madrigal's hurt, all the travel excuses, which were going to be very handy, and they were used. And you've got bullpen that still isn't right, may never get right, and you've got issues with not a particularly fearsome lineup.
Middle of the order, and I asked Bruce about Seiya Suzuki, who's having a not-so-great year, and when they signed him to, and I don't remember all of the financials, let's call it 5 years, 80 mil, whatever it is, something like that. It's close to that. To be the middle of the order run producer, right? I mean, that was why he's there playing right field. He's supposed to be driving in runs and hitting home runs, and he is not doing so this year. I think he has 6 home runs here on the 4th of July. That's not good. As we are
just to clarify, not a good thing.
Not good for baseball. That's not a good baseball stat. But no, and you know what? For as long, and we've certainly made fun of the central divisions in each league all season because they're both bad divisions. Although the NL Central, if you haven't been paying attention, both the Reds and Milwaukee are now 7 over 500, which for a while there, wow. everyone was hovering right around 500, so the Cubs...
They would have already clinched the AL Central.
They'd be 7 up on Minnesota. No, they wouldn't be. Minnesota is 500, by the way, at 43-43, so they would be, what, 3.5 up on Minnesota. The American League Central standings, not to get too off track here.
No, go ahead.
AL East down to AL Central, it runs in perfect order once again. So the Boston Red Sox, who are in last place in the AL East, are a half a game ahead of the Twins in the AL Central. So if you could list those 10 teams in order,
they would be in that
they
order.
They are in order. But no, so the Cubs are 7 out. I was actually surprised with how strongly Bruce came out about the Cubs being sellers here on the 4th of July. Because
and not just
sellers,
but not just because the knee jerk talk radio thing.
Sure.
They lost a 6-0 lead, and even though this loss is it will leave a mark and like that. But Bruce has been talking because he's taking a little longer view, and since London, they have sucked. They went to London, they came back, they sucked. They were tired. They sucked. They're using that as an excuse. They sucked. They lost at home. They sucked. And Bruce is coming out saying, because I asked him, you got a happy face you can put on this.
Mm-hmm.
And his happy face was, by August 1st.
Yeah.
You'll have new players.
Right. You're gonna do the sell off. You're going to be one of the sellers that you got to wonder at this point. Two of your huge money teams that have been huge disappointments thus far, and you just mentioned, we mentioned the Mets with Bob last segment. The Mets are 8 under 500. They got plenty of big money that they could deal off there if they wanted to.
Yeah, they act like a big market team, don't they?
As does San Diego, which is not a big market team, but spends like a big market team.
They play one in the majors.
But they're 7 under 500 as well. They're 39-46. And they are 11 games behind Arizona.
So which one gets Stroman? Because that's what Bruce was saying. We talked to him about it, and he was naming names, and Bellinger and Stroman were front and center. They're both...
It's the two biggest trade chips they have, right?
And Stroman is in the National League. He's one of the best pitchers. He's an all-star. Justin Steele's unbelievable. He's not getting traded anywhere, I don't think. But but it might happen. I mean, I don't know how much of a... What kind of sellers they'll be, but if you trade Stroman, you need Stroman. You'll need a Stroman after that.
They have to go find a new one.
And he likes it here. And he doesn't want to necessarily be traded. He wants an extension. I wouldn't blame him. And Bruce was making the point of, well, you're going to give a guy a 7-year extension? Maybe I just give him 3 like the Twins did and with Correa. And... All right, here, we'll give 3 years a ridiculous amount of money, but it's only 3 years. You're just making a lot of money. And maybe you do that with Stroman. And if it's those teams have reason to stay in it, the Mets and the Padres. The Cubs sure would if they were a big market team. Unfortunately, they're not a big market team. And the confounding part is they spent money smartly, wisely on Stroman.
And Swanson. And Swanson has been great.
And Bellinger has been, when healthy, he's been. So those are the guys, not Swanson, but Stroman and Bellinger are the names that Bruce mentioned that you're like, okay, yeah, it's a gimme. They're going to be gone by August 1st. And we were pretty surprised that it came out.
Yeah.
He came out as strong, and they were going to get that August 1st, this was a done deal kind of thing. And then we started talking about, well, we're Chicago. We're the home of the trade rumors. Who brings you more, Giolito or Stroman? Giolito's pitching tonight against Toronto.
Yes, he is.
Is this and Giolito doesn't want to leave. Said, no, I don't want to be traded here.
I've heard the rumors. My question, why?
And survey says, And he's told why. The why is, he goes, look, they've been loyal to me. But he was the worst pitcher in 2018, as the commercial said, right? They gave him a chance. And he values that loyalty. He valued that support.
If he keeps pitching as he has, and when then you look at his career track record, keeping in mind, or you know, 2018 being a long time ago, and he didn't have the greatest year last year, but he's back pitching to his kind of sort of all-star self. You know, he's not a perennial all-star, but he's a guy who can be and has been, right, all-star level. But he's gonna get a ton of money in the offseason, which immediately would price him out of the White Sox, right? I mean, they're not going to pay a pitcher that kind of money.
If you're a White Sox fan and you hear what Espo just said.
But it's true.
And you know it's true. Yeah. I know that part is true. And they'll point to, oh, Jacob DeGrom. Look, they gave him a bunch of money and he's hurt. And yet Texas, with the manager you should have hired, White Sox, Texas is leading its division. They're having a wonderful season. And I just hate the idea that, here's what's scary about both teams, because you have Jed Hoyer's got rings in Boston and Chicago, but those, you could say those are Theo's rings. I don't think Jed Hoyer has something to do with it, but when you're talking about Jed Hoyer as the guy top of the baseball mountain, that he's got as many rings as you and I do. We've never been at the top of the baseball mountain. We've never run those things. And then Rick Hahn with what looks to be a dysfunctional, disastrous team. And if you're going to make them a seller, why? Why do you let this guy do the selling? Why do you let this guy preside over the disaster he created? He's got an empty suit for a manager. You have zero change in their base running ability, zero change in their defense. You've got nearly as much undisciplined swings at the plate. I mean, why does he get to keep doing this for you?
Well, they play the Blue Jays tonight at 7:10. So does that mean they're going to come out and kick your ass because it's 7:10? It's a 7:10 game.
They don't even do that.
I know they don't.
Right? Pedro Grifols says they're going to do that, and half the time they're just sleepy. No, we don't have to do it. They're as sleepy as Tony La Russa looked, or Tony LeBevington looked last year. And you could say this if you're a Cub fan, and you are, Espo. You trust Jed Hoyer? Are you frustrated by this? Does this look like a big market team? Bruce was telling us, by the way, I should say this.
Yep.
Bruce is telling us, so how do you feel when he says, well, money, throwing money at it doesn't guarantee
no,
anything.
I get it, right? Because I don't want to be the organization that has lots of bad money, lots of bad contracts, where, you know, a year into a 5 or 6 year deal, you're like, oh boy, you know, that's going to suck. Right? I don't want to be that organization. So I appreciate the not just opening the floodgates and trying to solve things with money, but I also agree, and I think the Cubs would agree, right? I mean, this team should perennially be contending for the division, making the playoffs, being a winning team. They have all the resources in the world, right? They're one of the richest teams in baseball. And it behooves them to be good because you get more people at games in Wrigleyville, spending money at all the various different things that the Cubs own and watching your network, right? So all of this, I forget whose quote it was, but your best invention was winning. What was that we were talking about?
Oh, McDonough used to say.
John McDonough.
Yeah, the greatest marketing scheme ever is winning.
Yeah. So when you're drawing $40,000 a night at Wrigley because your team is really good, that to me is the best way to do it. Now, I agree with Bruce that I don't want to throw bad money out there. I don't want to sign guys to contracts that are going to be bad, but they have the resources. So what's the I like the Swanson signing. A Stroman signing's been good. The Tyone one has not worked out. I liked it at the time.
They've made him worse. They've ruined Tyone.
And I happened to catch a bunch of his starts last year just in following the game, but he was like 16-6 for the Yankees. He was really good last year.
Mm-hmm.
Veteran pitchers, been around. Not a guy you worried about falling off a cliff, but
Cubs pushed him off the cliff.
They are 2-12 in his starts this year. 2-12.
I just think they need to act like a big market team. And I don't know, it bothers me if in the pursuit of owning everything in the area, not just the baseball team and the stadium, but owning everything, like they're playing Monopoly and got it, buy it, need it, want it. And there's a hotel and houses, like they're playing the game of Monopoly. They're putting hotels on this street and they're putting building houses on this, and they're buying these rooftops. And I can't shake the idea that the baseball team or the baseball budget is suffering from making sure that real estate notes get paid off or redone as a result of the pandemic, or wherever it is that they've spent so much money outside of the Ivy walls that it costs the baseball team or costs the baseball operation. And I don't, like you said, if you have a winning team, that should be priority number one. And I don't know that it is. And I see the Dodgers always seem to compete. Yankees always seem to compete. Red Sox always seem to compete. Right? Aren't the Cubs fourth on that list of teams' value, franchise values?
Maybe
the Braves are up there.
And the Mets, yeah. I mean, to me, that's the thing with the Cubs, right? It's a built-in, and we said this during their World Series window, you know, 5-6 years ago, whenever it was, as they were up there. This should be annual, right? The Cubs should, the World Series should not be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. The playoffs should not be an every few years
thing. Actually, the World Series is one in several lifetime things.
Right. No, but I mean, you know, the Cubs, just like the Yankees, should be automatically one of the highest spending teams just because of their resources. They should be, because of that, one of the best teams. Right? If you're equating resources with talent, you should, you know, one leads you to the other, right? I mean, they should never be, and I can't believe I'm going to say this. The Cardinals contend annually. Forget about this year. My whole life, 50 years of watching baseball, the Cardinals have never been bad. Right? Is that right? I mean, with a few years here and there.
I haven't looked it up to go over every year.
But they have never been bad. They might have a down year, but they've never been bad. They've been consistently contending in the Cubs division since I have been following baseball.
That's what makes
baseball.
Them so evil and dreaded.
I agree, but the Cubs should be that.
Right. They should. A15 texter asked the Mets how throwing money at problems is going. Yes. The difference is this. When the Mets throw money at an issue, when they throw money at their roster, when they throw money at trades and it goes bad, you can depend the Mets will continue throwing more money. They will not let that stop them from acquiring talent. Let me ask you this. Do you feel the same way about the Cubs? And the answer would be no. Just saying. All right, we're going to take a break. Coming up, we will eventually talk with Mark Grody. He's not on this show, but he will be on this show. He used to be on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody used to be on this show. And we will talk to him. Mark Grody will be taking over for us at 11 o'clock and taking up to Cubs baseball pregame at 2:35. And we will talk to Groats, and we will close up shop here. Steve Rosenblum, Mike Esposito, in for Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You thought our interview with Bobby Pastrami was over? Well, no, it's not.
No.
Bob Schwartz texted me. And he thanked us for having him on and talking dog, talked the history of the hot dog and how it became the Chicago dog. And he wanted to mention that the Wall Street Journal named Vienna Hot Dogs number one. And I'm announcing this on the Cubs station. They're the official hot dog of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, boy.
So a Chicago company is the official hot dog of the home of the bratwurst. I don't know. I don't understand. Hey, look!
Hey, what's up?
Look who just walked in.
Give me a second. I got to get set. I'm a little sweaty. I got to get my headphones out. Relax.
He He has worked up a good sweat walking here, so there you go. The good news is that since Milwaukee is so close, for those of us that attend games in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. we can rest assured knowing that when we're there, we can get Vienna hot dogs.
Yes, that's the way. And you know what? We talked, I don't know, I should have asked Bob this because we know Bob heads the Chicago, heads the Hot Dog Hall of Fame. Do you know Milwaukee? Not maybe not Milwaukee, but Wisconsin has a mustard museum and a mustard, I think a mustard Hall
not,
of Fame.
I did not. Is Dan McNeil in charge of that?
Oh,
wait a second.
That's great.
This is like WWE. It's like, wait a second, his intro music just came in. Here he comes!
Oh my god, it's Mark Brody!
No way, it's Brody!
Oh, that sounds good.
Yes.
Ow!
I just picture you in a wrestling setting, like you come sprinting down the aisle as that comes on, and the announcers go, "No way, this can't be happening. It's Brody."
Well, yet another Pearl Jam concert coming up in September.
Where
are we going for this concert? I don't even keep track.
Is it
United Center?
It's United Center.
It is at the United. Yeah, I just know okay. I got tickets for both shows. Thanks, Ed.
Yeah.
Did I say that? Your buddy Ed?
And he better play Dirty Frank.
Yeah,
that's all I got to say.
Mark Grody, man.
You guys just mentioned mustard.
Yes.
My dad received the greatest Father's Day / birthday gift for him of all time. It was a Mustard of the Month Club. Three
Gary,
different mustards.
Gary Grody has a Mustard of the Month Club membership.
Courtesy of the good son, Paul Grody. Paul of the Grodys.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you.
No.
You're not the good son?
No. Paul showed us all up. I got him a stupid golf polo. And then Brother Paul swooped in at the end with the Mustard of the Month Club, which doesn't necessarily go over particularly well with Gene Grody.
Ah.
Why?
Because now there's going to be mustards filling the refrigerator.
That's a lot of mustard.
You need a separate mustard. Can you imagine?
Gary, the mustards?
We take a little break from the mustard. Maybe Mustard of the Every Other Month Club, maybe, or the sec. I'll call Paul and see if we could augment it. That's what's going on.
That's a lot. I mean, you'd have to really be eating a lot of mustard to use all that mustard.
The man does appreciate his mustard.
Well, it's awesome.
Yeah. Wait, this is perfect. This is such a wake and bake thing. 773 Mustard Museum in Middleton, Wisconsin. My sister and I visit every year.
I mean,
there you have it.
Mustard is one of those eclectic things that has so many different. It's like hot sauces, not Tabasco.
Mm-hmm.
Hot sauces. Mm-hmm. I used to be really into hot sauces. Not so much anymore
because
they burn me up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there are things like that. How are you guys doing?
We're doing as well as the variety of mustard.
We're festive.
All over the place.
We're festive. We're having an extravaganza. Can't you tell?
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard the bumpers, the extravaganza.
Yeah, I don't. I'm waiting for the ganza part of it. But we we did, and I need to add to this, a texter informed us. We learned things, especially about movies on this show. And we talked about the fact that in 1980, over this weekend, Airplane debuted. One of the greatest movies of all time. Greatest lines.
Introduced me to slapstick.
Yeah.
Oh, slapstick. I like it. It's easy and fun.
And in talking about the movie, a texter had pointed out that the serious actors made it work because they were doing comedy. Robert Stack, Lloyd Bridges, Leslie Nielsen. I did not realize this as much as I've seen the movie and as much as I love the movie. And as much as I love Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad,
yeah,
Mike Ehrmantraut was in Airplane.
Oh,
Jonathan
really?
Banks.
I can't picture that. I'm going to have to Google that now.
And we can't play the clip that he says in that movie, as it turns out. We'd have to bleep it. Yeah.
I see it now on using the Google machine, but I would have never in a million years remembered that or known
that.
Can
we paraphrase the line? I'm not sure I know what line it is. Come on, Espo.
What a...
Are you afraid they won't let you do Cubs pregame anymore?
Yes,
I have it.
Absolutely.
That's been running through the show.
We should all live in fear of that, really.
I'm pretty sure. And speaking of, today the Cubs continued their series against the Brewers. Pregame at 2:35, first pitch at 3:10 on the Score in the Xfinity Cubs radio network. And you will lead us, my friend.
Man, right I heard, there. Espo, I think it was you who I heard say it. I hadn't heard it vocally. I had seen it on my computer, but the number seven games back.
Seven out.
Like, I mean, that's a devastating number at this point, considering the division you're in and the position that you thought you might have, right? Seven. Mm-hmm. Are we at the point now where...
No, there's more than 7 weeks left. You just got to pick up a game a week and you can erase that seven. Right? Isn't that the baseball math by people who are delusional?
Okay.
You look at, you watch the Cubs and Sox, all the Sox got to do is pick up six games on three teams, which mathematically seems like suicide.
Bruce Levine would also tell you that they're only six back in the loss column.
Okay.
Forget about that seven.
Yeah.
They're six back in the loss column.
I'm calling Bruce today then. I want to see what other optimistic tidbits he can give me about everything.
I asked him to put after yesterday's 6-0 lead that turned into an 8-6 loss.
Yeah.
I said, Bruce, now they're making excuses about travel and London and fatigue and their guys get hurt. They've lost, seven of eight or eight of nine, whatever. It just keeps getting worse. And I said, can you put a happy face on this? He goes, yeah, by August 1st, you'll have a lot of new players here.
That was different.
And he was naming Stroman and Bellinger. And I said, wait, if you trade Stroman, don't you need to go get a Stroman? He said, yeah. Okay. I guess they did it once. I don't know how that is going to – how's it going to play if you're supposedly a big market team? You're a Cub fan, right? Trade Stroman, do you have a chance? You think you have a chance? Your team's
– All-star, just named all-star?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I guess it depends on how far away you think you are and – if Jed Hoyer, and I guess that would also include Tom Ricketts because he's the man with the money and he controls all those things. He operates. So
you have to ask Jed, though.
Huh?
Just ask Jed.
Oh, absolutely.
Ask Jed.
Yeah. So if Jed is planning on opening up the pocketbook in the offseason, then I would think you keep Stroman. But if they do trade Stroman, that would tell you that they know, or at least they think, that they're still a couple years away from being a real contender. That's what I think.
Or Shohei Ohtani away.
Ooh.
Do you see your
clear
team,
in salary
do
cap?
Do you see your team
no.
buying Shohei Ohtani?
It doesn't feel like it.
No.
It doesn't feel like it. So I don't know that
he solves two problems.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. I mean, legit, would the Cubs pay $400 to $500? I mean, I think that would be a great symbolic way of showing, okay, we did things one way in 2013 leading up to 15 and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. We did it one way, then let's do it another way this time. And let's actually go out and get more than just John Lester and fill in the weaknesses, because they've always got that in their back pocket, I think.
Yeah.
I would like them to look like a big market team.
That'd be great.
I would like them to pull that off. Don't pull a White Sox where you really have Manny Machado and then you decide you're going to be the smartest guys in the room and mess around with the last 2 years and make them earn it. Figure out who has the leverage. Shohei Ohtani will have the leverage. What is the money you have to pay him? You make that deal and talk to him. Now that Trout's hurt, the Angels are going to stink, right? They always fall. They stunk.
They have,
when they had both of them.
They have the two best players in the game, and they can't make the playoffs, right?
So, I mean, so Trout's now hurt, and you could swoop in, get Ohtani, and show...
Swoop in! You make it sound like it's out of nowhere.
Well, they swooped in, and they got Theo. And you know one of the things...
Good point.
I don't mind the... If the Stroman thing... Let's say they trade him. I will always go back to, I might be delusional, I'll go back to the Scott Feldman trade.
Feldman, Arrieta.
Yeah, Arrieta and Strope.
Yeah.
And Stropey. Yep, they got Stropey back too.
So that might happen. It's a part of it. That's fine. But like you said, that was a different time. We were willing to sit through the rebuild because you had, baseball Moses there, right?
That was the end of the rebuild, really, that trade, right?
But you were willing to sit sure. through all that stuff.
We were at the tail end of it. We were done with it. We were ready to win.
Why is your music?
I don't know. Oh, it's closing time.
I thought we were going to stay.
I thought we were doing an extended.
Oh,
Caesar is imposing his will.
They don't want us.
Caesar's down.
This man of will.
All right, we hear music. We hear music. We stop talking. We'll come back when the music's done. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.